Hey, how we doing? This is Sparky Lee for the Spark Show DFS first ever podcast. Today we're going to be covering the Players Championship, and it is the fifth major, unofficial fifth major. Huge field we got today, but first I want to tell you where you can find me at. You can find me at Spark Show DFS on Twitter, or Spark Show DFS.wordpress.com is where you can find my website. But if you go to either or, you can find both of them. I was just planning to cover the four majors this year. Working a 9-to-5, it's kind of tough to get in a podcast while doing the articles, but I figure I'd do the articles and then dabble with the podcast. And I was going to do the four majors this year, but I got a little excited and decided I wanted to do the Players Championship as well, because they're spaced out this year and it kind of allowed me to do that. But I guess we will start with the course, TPC Sawgrass, and I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce this, but Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, which is just outside of Jacksonville on the north side of Florida. We got a par 72. Comes in at 7,189 yards, which is pretty average length. And some of the course attributes we have are small Bermuda greens, which I kind of read that they might be overseeded because it's earlier in the season and it's going to be a little bit colder, so you might have a little rye grass mixed in with that, which might screw up some putting stats, so kind of look for that later on in the week. The greens and the bunkers were rebuilt after they played here in 2016, but it takes a few years for them to kind of soften up, so hopefully by now they'll be a little bit softer, less firm and springy. Another decently hard course, like you'd see in these Florida courses that have a lot of water and a lot of chances to double bogey some holes. So you'll kind of see that here with a lot of the scores. Last year, Webb Simpson was 18 under, but second place was 14 under. And that's kind of typically where you'll see the leader as, between 10 and 15, kind of depending on the course conditions and weather and whatnot. And then no two consecutive holes play in the same direction. There's a good mix of dog legs left and right. So that kind of keeps players honest, keeps you on your toes. And you really can't out-bomb this course too much, especially because it's more of a tree line course than the last two that we've seen. And it's in a swampland too. So there's not big lakes, but there's little ponds on probably 17 different parts of the holes, about half the holes. Tighter fairways too, and plenty of undulation, a lot of hills and whatnot. But I guess the rough is going to be trimmed down this year, so driving accuracy stats that you've seen from the past might not show up this year. So you can kind of spray it a little bit more, as long as you're not ending up in some of the water in the trees, you're going to be all right. And this has the famous island green on number 17 that you have probably seen before. The stats that I want to look at for this tournament are, I'm going to keep it simple. If you read all my articles, I usually have probably 6 to 10 stats that I like to really emphasize for the week. But this week, it's not going to be as extensive, because I think you can have a lot of different winners or types of golfers win here, which you could see throughout the previous years. You know, you have guys that are good iron players, guys that are good around the greens. So as long as you're getting to the greens somehow and not blowing up, you have a shot at winning or top 5, top 10 here. So the key stats that I'm looking at here is pretty basic. We got, first one is just strokes gained tee to green, with a slight emphasis on approaching the green, because that's always going to be one of the biggest stats to look at. Approaching the green is is a key one. And then scoring from there. Birdie or better percentage, bogey avoidance. I might look at par 4, par 5 scoring too. And then course history, kind of see who's comfortable here. But it is going to be weird because they usually play this in May to kind of bump this into March, see if it kind of messes with the course setup or how comfortable guys feel here. Yeah, no need to overthink this one, really. Just good golfers. It's such a loaded field. We're going to be back to 144 golfers. Last week we had 123, which is a little bit smaller. And this one, we're going to have all the stars out here pretty much. Tiger withdrew the last two events with a neck strain. So he's probably going to be one to watch throughout the week. Keep updated on him, see if he's healthy. Same thing with Jason Day, who pulled out after, I think it was 6 holes last week. But he's been on the range, and I guess he feels better this week, so he's one to watch. And then Taylor Gooch, I can't remember what he hurt. Might have been a wrist injury, but I'm not exactly sure. But he pulled out last week, and he was turning around looking real good this year. So he's one to kind of watch his health as well. And then Phil finally was kind of convinced to go show up and try and play, but I guess he's still on the fence. So if he has a few bad practice rounds or range sessions, I guess, then he'll probably pull out of this one because he just doesn't have a good track record here. So far, we have Pat Perez, Wee Kim, both withdrew, and then Wyndham Clark and Dominic Bazzelli filled in for him. Like I said, this is one of the best fields you're going to see talent-wise all year. So there's going to be 144 golfers with a lot of talent. You're probably going to use a different strategy than you've used for DFS and regular betting so far this year. But first category we are going to look at is the big dogs here at $9,000 and up. I just by looking at my model, I've collected a lot of stats over the years, and I have a 1,000 round simulation that kind of helps me decide all my picks. And just looking at it, the 3 top guys are just clear cut favorites here, and I think you can't afford to obviously put 2 in your lineup. So everybody's gonna probably start with 1 in a lot of lineups. Of the top 3 guys, Rory's probably my cash guy this week. He just seems like he's got the best floor of everybody, and he's the lowest of everybody. I mean, the top 3 guys, and he's the lowest price. So saving any kind of dollars you can this week is going to be huge. So I think he's going to be owned pretty highly. So that's why I'd put him in cash lineups with the high floor and the high ownership versus GPP. But I think with JT, Rory, and Dustin Johnson, you can mix and match here a lot, because depending upon where they fall ownership wise is gonna probably sway a lot of people. But this is just kind of my gut feeling from the beginning, and as you go through later on in this week, there's people that are better at doing ownership projections, and you get more accurate as the week goes on. So I would check those as you go. And if you read my articles, there's one little tidbit I put in here where there's $600 between Rory and Dustin Johnson. And between those two, talent-wise right now, there's not a whole lot of difference. But that $600 could buy you, say you're stuck at Stenson and Louis Oosthuizen. You could upgrade to Paul Casey and Hideki Matsuyama with that $600, and that's a way better pairing. So I would just probably in cash lineups look to save the money and go with high ownership. Doesn't matter, obviously. DeChambeau had a tough week last week, but he did shoot 3 under and jump up pretty high. He had a lot of birdies that last day, so I think he's going to be coming roaring ready to go. And he's, the last few weeks for me, he's been probably one of my better value guys at the top. But I think Jason Day is $100 below him on DraftKings at 9,200 and Bryson's 9,300. So I think there's no way people are going to be going on day. His GPP, maybe some people sprinkle it in because nobody's going to be looking at him, but there's a big chance that he just pulls out of this one again. So I think a lot of that ownership is going to go towards Bryson. Xander is one of my favorite picks here too, and I think everybody's going to kind of be on him. He shot 14 under here last year. He's looked great this year, multiple wins. But again, he's right above Spieth and right below Day. And I feel like Day and Spieth are going to have low ownership. So Xander might be in just a hot spot for guys picking him. But cash-wise, I don't have a problem playing him here. So those are my three cash picks there. Rory, Bryson, Xander. And my podcast is going to be set up just like my articles. So if you're kind of confused where I'm jumping around at, you can just go to my article, or I'm going to go the top dollar guys first, and I'm going to go GPP or cash play and then GPP, and then my value plays right underneath that, the middle range of the price, and then go cash and GPP from there. And then sleepers, kind of the lower, like low 7,000s and underneath that, and then I'm going to do my cash plays, GPPs from there. And then underneath that, just sprinkle in a couple like dark horses that people might be looking away from, or that might just have a long shot to do well here based on something that I'm seeing. So now I'm going to do the GPPs for the big dogs. And the first one is Dustin Johnson. You know, this could all change. Like I said, Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Rory are all kind of interchangeable. If the ownership level looks different, you can change this, but just him being the top owned guy, or the top dollar guy, not owned guy, I'm hoping he's the low owned guy, but the top dollar guy, people are going to want to save money so they can make a little bit more of a balanced lineup here. So I think people are going to kind of skirt away from Dustin Johnson, but that's kind of why I like him here, because he's just good at everything. And when he's clicking, he's the best in the world. So it all depends on the ownership, really, for these guys. Because I could even see taking Justin Thomas here too. Speaking of Justins, we got Justin Rose right underneath him too. Last week I said he was kind of a riskier pick. We hadn't seen him since the Saudi International, I believe. Where he was, I'll have to look this up exactly, but I think he missed the cut, or I want to say he missed the cut at 77, so he was right on the borderline there, and then we hadn't seen him in about a month leading up to the Arnold Palmer, so I thought people were going to steer away from him, but he was still really highly owned right next to Rory up at the top of that price range. But I think a lot of that had to do with Tiger Woods pulling out last minute. So people had to either go to Rory or Justin Rose up there. Justin's got a good track record here. 23rd last year, 4th in 2014, 19th in 2016. But he did finish 63rd last week. He didn't really look great. And a lot of his success this year has come off of his 1 point or one putt percentage and 3 putt avoidance, which he's first in both of those this year, which is not exactly what you want in a guy, because if he loses his putting a little bit, then his whole game, just there's more pressure put on it. So he's kind of a riskier play here, but he's still a very good player. And if people are running away from him after last week, he's going to be a really good GPP play. Because he is one of the best golfers in this field. The next guy that I like risk-wise is Rahm, right underneath him at 9,500. His strokes gained approaching the green this season is 1/16th, which is one of the worst in this range from 9,000 and up. So I think people just looking at that might get steered away from Rahm. But he's still 21st in this field in strokes gained tee to green. and his scoring numbers are fine. So if he has just a good week with his irons, he could mess around and win this tournament. Another thing that would steer people away from him is his record on this course, which isn't terrible, I don't think, but it's a missed cut 2 years ago and then 3 under 63rd last year. So it's not great. Approaching the green, not great. Coming off of 45th place at the World Golf Championship in Mexico, which is his last event, not great. But I think people will kind of go, oh, I'm going to go Ricky from here, Brooks, Bryson, Sergio, all around him. But he had, what is this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 top tens in a row, including a win right before that World Golf Championship in Mexico. So I think he could be one guy that's undervalued this week. And now we will move down to the value picks. Everybody before that was 9,000 and up. This is 7,400 to 8,900 on DraftKings, that is. GPP plays. The biggest thing that I saw was from 9,300 to 7,900. It just looks like it's going to be a gauntlet of highly owned players where it's going to be tough to like parse out who is going to be highly owned out of these guys. Like it's crazy. I'll read off some of the list here. We'll start with Fleetwood. There's Cantlay, Molinari, who just won. Webb Simpson won here last year. Tony Finau is always a good sleeper pick. Hideki, people love picking. Adam Scott, who's been either really good or really bad, so I could see people flipping to him. Patrick Reed has been okay, pretty solid. And then Kuchar's kind of fallen off a little bit, but he's already got 2 wins this season, and people could flock to him. Phil, I don't even want to touch that, but I love Phil, though. But Paul Casey right underneath him is probably going to be real chalky. After that, it kind of drops off a little bit, but first guy, it's going to be tough to know where the ownership's going to fall here. But the first guy that I'm really in love with here is Patrick Cantlay. So even if he's highly owned, which I think he's going to be, he's a good pick. 22 is what he finished 2 years ago. 23 is what he finished last year here. His last tournament was the World Golf Championship in Mexico. He was 6th. Genesis, he was 15. Farmers, he missed the cut, but before that, 9th place. 5th place. He's been on a tear, and his stats are pretty phenomenal too. He's just all around pretty rock steady. Where is he at here? Cantlay. Yeah, 9th in strokes gained off the tee, 24th in approach, 29th around the green, 7th in tee to green total, 5th in driving distance, 8th in scrambling, 4th bogey avoidance, 1st par 4 scoring. I think a lot of people are going to go Fleetwood, Molinari here, and then Cantlay is just a solid pick. But even if people pick Cantlay, just a great cash play. He's probably my favorite pick here. I'm going to skip way below all this chalk here and then go to another piece of chalk, but it's less expensive. Ian Poulter, 7,600. He's right in between Leishman and Woodland. They're both, all three of them are at 7,600, but Ian Poulter is just my favorite pick out of these three guys. He's got as good a recent form as any of them. But the big thing with him is that his course history is a lot better. 5 straight made cuts here. And then the last 2 years, he was 2nd and 11th. So if people want to dabble with Leishman, want to dabble with Woodland, I don't hate it. But as far as cash plays go, I think Poulter's the best of those three there. And then another guy that's probably going to be real chalky is Rafa. Cabrera Bayo, he was a first-round leader last week. He made his last two cuts here, 4th and 17th, is what he finished. He ended up in third place last week, and I remember him going for the green on 18. He thought it was a good shot, landed short, and went in the water. So he could have even had a better finish last week. He's been rock solid lately, and he's been good here, so I really like him, but I expect he's going to be pretty highly owned. So a cash play, great. GPP, I mean, you're going to be fighting a lot of people with that, unless if later on in the week it turns out that he's not going to be highly owned, then I say sprinkle him in a GPP as well. And then this is kind of a gut play as we move to my risky plays here from the cash plays. Webb Simpson. Obviously won here last year, won here pretty handily. But he, you know, he's not in the greatest of form right now compared to the people that are around him. He finished 39th and in Mexico, 36th at the Honda. I mean, if you look at Cantlay, Molinari, Finau, Matsuyama, Patrick Reed, they all finished in front of him in Mexico. So I feel like for whatever reason, people aren't going to be high on Webb Simpson here, but he's just a classically good bogey avoidance player. He won here last year. If he's going to be lower ownership, then I'm fine with taking him here and taking that risk that most people don't want to do. But again, I'm not an ownership guy, so if ownership tends to sway the other way, it wouldn't really surprise me. And then the next guy that I look at here, Webb was at 85. Hideki Matsuyama is at 83, right underneath him. And I think he, for the longest time, I wasn't on him. He's had a rough stretch probably the last year and a half, but the last maybe half a year, he's really kind of come into himself, and he's had a lot of finishes in the teens, maybe a couple top tens. But for whatever reason, if I don't see the top five, I'm not going to be high on you. And that's where I was at with Matsuyama. I feel like everybody jumped on him too quick, but he's kind of getting back there. He's second in strokes gained approaching the green, third in strokes gained tee to green, but he's losing, I think, just over half a stroke. It's like 0.6 strokes putting, and that's his big weakness. And the crazy thing is, though, he can turn that around in one tournament and putt well, or a couple stretches of tournaments and putt well, and then all of a sudden he's winning. He looks like he's Rory, and he's up priced in the 10,000s in a field that's steep. So just as long as he can clean up his putt, and I have the most confidence in him out of this price range to go up and win this event. And then the last guy in this, I don't feel real strong about this one, but something's just pulling me to it. It's Cameron Smith at 7,600. He's wedged right in between Ian Poulter and Leishman, and then Woodland. I think Woodland is 7,500. I might have said he was 7,600 earlier, but it's Poulter, Leishman, Cameron Smith at 7,600. So I feel like Poulter and Leishman are going to be picked way more than Cameron Smith. Cameron Smith is 0 for 2 in cuts here, and those were the last 2 years. He missed his last cut, and I want to say that was at Honda. Where's he at? Yeah, he was 119th is where he was placed at. So he missed Honda pretty big. So I think people aren't going to pick him here. Maybe a little bit in GPPs if they're looking at the same stuff I am, because he's 30th in strokes gained approaching the green. He's 13th in strokes gained around the green. 21st strokes gained putting. So he's been good with his putter, and you've seen Jason Day win here. You've seen guys that just are good around the green, good putters. And especially if the if the rough is trimmed down this year, where Cameron Smith has been hurt, he's 133rd in driving accuracy, 186th in strokes gained off the tee. But if the rough is cut pretty low, then he might still have a chance to go into these greens and around these greens and do what he does best and actually not only make this cut, but actually finish pretty high. So I like Cameron Smith in this spot. Now I'm going to go into my sleeper category here, 7,300 and under on DraftKings. It might be my favorite pick of the week, and I'll probably put him in almost everything, but it's Charles Howell III. He's at 7,300. He's super cheap. Not so much on FanDuel, but he's still decently cheap there, 9,600. Out of his last seven events, he's been in the top 20 in six of them. And the one that he was outside of the top 20 and he was 34th. So it wasn't even a missed cut. It was 34th place finish. And I'm going to rattle off these stats here that would make him just the perfect fit for this course. For Sawgrass, he's first par 4 scoring, first green in regulation, second in bogey avoidance. He's pretty solid tee to green. He doesn't really blow you away, but he doesn't really have any bad spots tee to green. And then he's coming off of a 17th place finish here last year, which is pretty solid in this stacked of a field. But I don't know, for whatever reason, the stars are aligning. He looks like a great pick. Probably going to end up to screw me over is what I'm thinking. But I'm probably going to play him in every lineup. We'll see. Most lineups anyways. Lucas Glover. This was a guy last week I tweeted something about. Just a theory. I threw out a tweet thread of how I thought he was overachieving a little bit. He's been great, don't get me wrong. He's a good player and he's been great. But just him and Kokrak, I had this feeling that they have been outperforming themselves and that eventually they were going to collapse, show their true colors. And Lucas Glover last week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational was 10th. So if there's a collapse coming, it's not yet, I guess. In his last three tries here, I think one was in 2014, he missed the cut. And then he didn't play here again until 2017, I do believe. Yep, and he was sixth place. And then he missed the cut again last year. But those two missed cuts, he was 83rd and 72nd. So it wasn't like he's shooting terrible to miss those cuts. So I think I was wrong on Glover, probably wrong on Kokrak as well. Still a good cash play here. And then Keith Mitchell is one I can't really put my finger on where he's going to be and where his arc has him going in these next couple tournaments. But I see him being highly owned. He won 2 weeks ago at the Honda. He was sixth last week. I think he was the top American last week. And he's 6,800 this week. So I feel like GPPs, cash plays alike, people are going to put him in a lot because he's always been, his bread and butter has been tee to green, and he's been good. I think he's like 15th this year in tee to green, but his putting has been atrocious. In these last 2 weeks, he's really turned it on. And maybe it's the Bermuda greens, which we're still on here. So he could keep rolling it well and just be an awesome pick. But it seems like he was like a comet. He shot in real quick, and he might burn out and go away real quick, which I could see. So if you don't want to play him, I wouldn't blame you. Let everybody else die on that chalk, but I might play him a little bit here. And then as far as my risky picks go for the sleepers, Ben Ahn is my first one here. He's right next to Keith Mitchell. And then Sung Jae-im. And both those guys, Keith Mitchell finished sixth last week. Sung Jae-im finished third. And then Ben Ahn finished 10th. So if people are having a recency bias thing go on here, they're going to go Mitchell and Sung Jae at 6,800. But Ben Ahn's the better player at 6,800. So I'm going to probably pick him out of those three if he's lower owned. But who knows? Maybe I'm wrong and everybody's on Benon just like I am, and then you'd want to go the other way. So I'd probably look for ownership projections later in the week. He's Benon's number one strokes gained around the green, which is pretty decent stat here because the greens are smaller, so a lot of the times you're not going to end up being able to hit your approach shots right onto the green. So being able to scramble, being able to pick up strokes around the green is going to be huge here and keep you in it, especially because the score is not going to be 20 under that wins it. Probably it's going to be closer to 13. So really like Benny on here in this spot. And Chesson Hadley, I bet him to win last week. Pretty dumb, but I've had a good feeling about him lately just because he's so good at gaining strokes approaching the green and his proximity. He's first gaining strokes into the green. I want to say he's fourth, but I'll have to find that for sure. One second. You got to scroll down a ways to find him. Yep, fourth. 39th strokes gained putting, 62 in strokes gained tee to green. So he is losing strokes off the tee and losing strokes around the green. So if, his iron work isn't perfect, then he's probably going to fizzle out. But if the driver's not too bad, the rough is treating him well, and if he can kind of not lose strokes or maybe even pick up strokes around the green, he's going to be an awesome pick down here. He was tied for the first round lead last year with Webb Simpson was there, and then I think there was maybe one or two other guys there with him. But he is a good pick down in this range if he's going to be lower owned. And then Jason Kokrak is another guy at 6,700, right next to Hadley at 6,700. That Kokrak has been bad here. He's last, starting in 2014, we got a miscut, 2015 miscut, 2016 miscut, 2017 miscut. And then last year, 46th. So a little bit of an improvement there. Kokrak's kind of coming into his own right now, so he's probably a better player. And if people, inexperienced people are coming in to play the Players' Championship that haven't been playing DFS all year, they're not really going to know this stuff that the normal guy has known playing this year, because Kokrak has been a beast. So I think Kokrak, his tee to green game has been pretty stellar. He's third in approach to the green. He's eighth in tee to green overall. And he's good off the tee. So I think you can just keep rolling with Kokrak here, and people are going to look at course history and go away from it. So his ownership might be a little lower than it should be here. And then now my dark horses category, which is the land of the lost toys pretty much down here. Kind of anybody can fit into this category, because the first two that we have are two very similar players, Keegan Bradley and Emiliano Grillo, which are two guys that in cash lineups I play pretty much every single week. But I just, in this loaded of a field, I didn't really know exactly where to stick them. They're both going to consistently make cuts, but it's like I'd put good money on they both finish right around 40th place. So it's, what do you want to do with them? Put them in cash and then they get through. I guess it's better than getting a guy that's going to miss the cut, but you're not going to get a whole lot of potential from them typically. But if one of them starts putting it really well, then they could win or top 10 here. So I think basically whatever your gut is telling you, and if you're looking at other stats, other predictions, reading other articles, listening to other podcasts, take that into consideration and do what you want here. But you could go GPP, you could go cash lineups with either one of these guys, and you pretty much know what you're going to get, but maybe there's an off chance that something crazy happens. Next guy, Luke List, who really kind of fell down the price ladder here. But if you're looking at the stats or the recent history, you would probably know why, because this is his season so far this year. Fourth place, miscut. Fourth place, miscut. 40th place, miscut. 15th place, miscut. 10th place, and then this event. So, statistically speaking, it's going to be a miscut. And he's only played here twice, and it was in the last 2 years, and they were both miscuts. So that's probably why his price tag is so low this week. So everything is pointing towards a miscut, but I think he can really surprise people, do well here, but a lot of people might be on him too because his price tag's low and they know he can, he's got all these top 10s in him this year. So he might be a highly picked guy, but he's a high risk, high reward kind of guy. So I would tread lightly there. Another guy that just really has looked well is Matt Wallace. His two events in Florida, 20th place at Honda, 6th place last week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And then before that, he looked pretty good overseas, which is kind of hard to really translate here. But he was 16th in the Abu Dhabi, 2nd place in Dubai. He did miss the cut, though, in the Saudi International, but then 33rd in the, World Golf Championship in Mexico, and then the two events in Florida. Hasn't played here, but I mean, the correlation between the two Florida courses to this is probably pretty good, so that'll give you an idea of how he'll play here. So I like him here, but I'm sure anybody who's been watching golf recently is going to like him here, and at 6,700, he could go highly owned. And then the last pick for today is my dude for this week. If you follow my articles, you know that I have these random guys that are like 100, 150, 175, 200 to 1 that I just fall in love with at the beginning of a tournament. It was Sam Ryder for a bit. It was Danny Lee for a bit, and his price tag went up, and it went back down here. The guy this week for me is Ryan Palmer. He was 4th place at the Honda recently in Florida, which was 2 weeks ago. And the thing is he's got the perfect storm going on to either, fizzle out, miss the cut, which is, at 6,600, there's a good chance of that happening, but there's the perfect storm of him also making a good run here, and he's 10th in strokes gained approaching the green, which is always probably the biggest stat to look at, 8th in green in regulation, 15th in proximity approaching the green, 7th in birdie or better percentage, 6th in par 4 scoring, and then in the last 2 years at Sawgrass, he's got 2 23rd place finishes, and that was 2016, 2018, 2017. In between that, he did miss the cut, but he's just one of those guys where I think if he can tighten his game up off of the tee, I guess off the tee is not too bad. He's 143rd in driving accuracy, so he doesn't lose all, like he's 85th in strokes gained off the tee. So with shorter rough here, that accuracy is not going to kill him. But the big thing is 184th in strokes gained around the tee. And that might kill him. If he's missing these small greens and he just still doesn't have the touch, he's 145th in scrambling, then he's just going to be toast. But if his scrambling is decent, then he could absolutely go on a tear here and shock people. And I already put a bet on him to win it all, which was pretty dumb in this loaded of a field at 175-1. And I think he was to top 5, 28-1, so I did that as well. But he was kind of my sleeper this week and my favorite pick, and my favorite pick way down low, and I'll probably sprinkle him in a little bit. But I think that would be it for this week's picks. I might do another podcast here maybe tomorrow of instead of the daily fantasy sports stuff. It'll be more of, you know, the tournament head-to-heads, and then they won't release round one head-to-heads in those lines until probably Wednesday. So I might not be able to touch on those, but maybe do the tournament head-to-heads, pick some winners, possibly first round leaders, maybe walk you through part of my strategy for that, because I did hit Johnny Vegas first round leader a few weeks ago. I hit Xander winner. I had Phil winner, and I thought that was just a shoo-in, and then he ended up losing to Adam Long. So I'm always kind of on the doorstep here with some of these picks. So I'll let you in on my strategy and whatnot for those. But that might come tomorrow, might not. But if it doesn't, we'll have the normal picks and preview for the majors, hopefully this year. And then possibly those other picks or random bets. It might be in the same podcast, might be in a different podcast, but I don't know. We'll kind of cross that bridge when we get to it. Until then, thanks for listening, and shoot 'em straight.